Revoice Podcast Network. The mic is ours.
Hey guys.
How's it going?
Welcome back to Revoice Reviews. I am Caroline.
And I'm Brett. And this is my first time on this podcast. So today I picked the movie The Village by M. Night Shyamalan. So we're going to dive into that on this episode.
Why did you choose this movie?
I chose this movie because growing up, I'd watch this with my mom. And it's like a horror movie, but it's not necessarily like a horror movie. It's kind of, I don't know, its own like dystopian... it's like a weird feeling you get the whole time watching it.
Like
so,
thriller, psychological yeah. thriller.
Mm-hmm. But it's in such an interesting like time period for what all's happening. So that's mainly why I chose this movie.
I wrote for my beautiful synopsis, Amish village town scared by creepy crawly creature and then quiet man wishes to leave town in hopes to gain medicine and help the people, but the creepy crawly creatures lurk in the woods that surround them and red is the bad color that brings in the creepy crawly creatures that they say, those we don't speak of.
Those that we don't speak
yes,
of.
That's how they refer to them. And Ivy... she's in love with this quiet man, and she's intrigued by him wanting to go into the town.
With a lot of his movies, you know, it's like a huge plot twist, but I feel like this one is like, it's the best just to experience it. This is not like one you want to spoil, because like, it's one of my favorite like plot points in the whole movie. But another thing is, when you watch the whole movie, it's also kind of like, it's way more of like a love story than you'd ever think of between Joaquin Phoenix and Bryce Dallas Howard in this movie. Like it's just really like makes your heart feel warm when you watch it, and just random scenes. But I don't know. There's also some scenes that can be really funny. Like there's a character, I can't think of her name, but Ivy's little sister. She's a
Kitty.
She's really interested in Joaquin Phoenix's character. So she's like, I'm going to go talk to him. And she goes right up to him and she goes, Lucius, I think you're the most amazing man ever. And I want to be with you for the rest of my life. And we shouldn't hide this and everything. But Lucius the whole time doesn't know how to respond. So he just gives her the quiet treatment. And then the next shot is just her like bawling, crying. But for the most part, it's very, like serious, kind of like dystopian society, very Amish, you know. They only have set resources and they live on a certain like valley that's kind of like, you know, they can't really leave that area, and a lot of rules that, you know, are applied. I also feel like all the actors, like the names in this movie is what really is like surprising to me. So like there's William Hurt, there's Joaquin Phoenix, Sigourney Weaver, Bryce Dallas Howard, Adrian Brody, Brendan Gleeson,
Jesse Eisenberg. The twist, I like joked in my mind like 5 minutes before it happened that was gonna happen. Then it actually happened. I was like,
oh, okay.
I cannot believe it. It's actually, it really got me. And I was
That's
jaw dropped
funny.
Until the credits started rolling. Should we spoil?
We could.
Okay. Spoiling time. Spoiler
Spoil.
Warning.
Spoil.
Guys, plot twist. This Amish village town is in a wildlife reserve.
Called the Walker Reserve, which you find out was paid for by...
the Walker family.
The Walker family, which is Ivy's dad. And it's a whole company that surveys the perimeter of it, and they basically don't let anything out or in. Basically, all the town leaders had a connection with someone in their family dying, just like dying in really horrific ways, and they thought, let's move to this kind of like very stripped back society, but like, you know, that doesn't have any of the like innocence of like life in a city, but it's a lot more safe, but it's very like plain and like bread and butter and mundane, I feel like.
You see the photo of them and like the voiceovers of how all of these loved ones died and how it like brought them to this. I was just like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
It's cool rewatching it. And at the very beginning, if you just pay attention to the things like just the town leaders are saying, they're like saying certain things about those we don't speak of. And they look at like their personal boxes of like their old personal belongings, which has all their like, you know, tax information, whatever. And they like look at it and they're like so just hesitant and like, oh, they're freaked out. But when you watch it the first time, you have no clue. And you're just like, just a normal, you know, village, but then it's just like, yeah, that's the whole twist is, you know, it's like modern day. You'd think it'd be 1800s, yeah. But it's modern day.
And
but,
I also think it slowly starts to peek out when all the elders are like talking in a group together.
Mm-hmm.
Even like their dialogue even starts to like turn from like 1800s to more modern time, and you can tell like
they start to get more frustrated with each other. Yeah.
Because like when they get more frustrated,
the way their vocabulary, the first like half of the movie is so like formal and, you know, very 1800s-y. But another thing is the use of the color red and yellow is can be done so well. So like throughout the movie, they show these little red berries that are like this tiny.
That attracts those we don't speak mm-hmm. of.
Another crazy part is, you know, when you realize that those we don't speak of is them, and they're creating this illusion to everyone. It does a good job of telling you, like letting you know something's gonna happen, and they'll be like, oh, like he says, Ivy says, I want to go to, you know, I want to go to the towns mm-hmm. and get medicine for Lucius, and then he says, okay, well, before you go, let me tell you something. Instead of telling the viewer right then, they wait 20 minutes for more stuff to go down. And then you all go, you get it all at once, as compared to like learning little detail. It kind of like builds up some of the moments. I feel like there's a lot of little moments in this movie that can be like taken like so much in depth, more than you'd think.
There was a couple shots that I really liked specifically that go back to that. Like there's a zoom out of the berries with Ivy in the woods with the gold mm-hmm. coat.
Yeah.
Which was just so beautiful.
Love that shot.
Lucius, when he first goes into the woods to look at the berries, it's just like very, very red.
Mm-hmm.
The shot of Ivy like hanging from the pit.
On the branches,
was so good. Oh, we gotta get into Mr. Adrian Brody, aka Noah. Because after Lucius is attacked by Noah, there's like a white flag waving, and it's very loud sound-wise, but it's like barely in the picture because it's zooming in of Ivy with mm-hmm. like blood smeared on her. I was just, that was some beautiful symbolism because it was right before she admitted that she wanted to go into the woods to go to the town to get medicine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was another shot at the very end with Noah, like after he died, when he's mm-hmm. laying in the ground, he's like, he's like in some spiral position. It's super interesting though. Yeah. But, like this movie is a thriller. It's like has horror elements, but like deep down, this is a love story. It is Bryce Dallas Howard and it's Joaquin Phoenix, and they both love each other. You know, every night he is sitting on her porch and making sure nothing's happening. And then when he gets to the point where he's too sick, you know, he's like injured, she's like, I'm going to go to the towns and, you know, get all this stuff for you. And she ends up, she does. In the last shot, you just see, you know, Lucius's point of view, and it's kind of just makes you feel like just really happy about what all has happened in the movie, at least for the love story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking to that, I watched a little bit of a behind the scenes like mm-hmm. video, and their chemistry was just so good, I thought, in the movie. And then I learned that Bryce Dallas Howard's first impression of Joaquin Phoenix, they had to do like a 1800s boot camp for this film
so they
could really get into theatrics mm-hmm. of what they're doing. And he carved her a cane in the woodworking class and carved the name Ivy into it. And that was the first time they met. He gave that turn, said, I made this for you.
Damn.
That's sick in the head. No wonder their chemistry was off the mm-hmm. charts. Whoa.
Yeah.
But Noah,
I don't know. He's kind of like a side character most of the movie, and you kind of don't really pay much attention to him. There's like little scenes where it's really freaky. Like there's one scene where Ivy, she's playing hide and seek with him, and Ivy's blind this whole time. If you guys haven't known that,
yeah.
This is like a huge plot point, is that Ivy's blind and she's like the strongest and the most like, she's a leader compared to most people who even are able to see. So she's playing hide and seek quite literally with Noah, and she doesn't find Noah. She goes back into her house and she puts her jacket away right in this closet. But Noah is standing in the closet, like in frame, in a way that he's hiding and that only you can see it. And he's like kind of giggling and he's like, oh, but she has no idea this whole time. So like, I feel like she had a clue about like it being Noah and him being sneaky, but like you know, it was such a late point in the plot and everything. And then he also just acts, you know, just suspicious, but you don't like suspect him until the end. Like,
yeah,
you watch it and you're like, okay, like that's a character. You don't know what they're doing.
He's kind of like a side, like comedic relief character in a way.
Really interesting performance from Adrian Brody. Like, it's not like a typical performance he would do. A lot more quiet, and like he kind of shows you more than telling you.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Adrian Brody, but I was really blown out of the water with this performance. And in the behind the scenes thing that I watched, he talked about how much he loved this performance as well. So props to you, Adrian. Props, I'll give you your props. You, okay,
just we'll let you do your long
next
speech.
Time you win an Oscar. No, next time you win an Oscar, don't talk for 15 minutes on the stage, please.
Yeah, another thing is when Noah dies, he's in the suit. That is the creature. So you find out that this whole time all the town leaders have been the creatures trying to scare off people because they don't, you know, want anyone to leave. But near the very end of the movie, Noah finds one of the suits and he goes out for what's her name, for Ivy. And Ivy ends up outwitting him and gets him to fall in this probably like 15-foot pit. And he falls and he's obviously dying, but since Ivy's blind, she has no clue. She actually thinks it's a monster. Like, you know, she doesn't know who it is. So she kind of just, you know, goes on about her business. But then you look and you see that it's Noah this whole time. And she doesn't even know that she did that. But, you know, even if she did know that, like, it's just crazy the fact that she didn't really know that in the moment. And she, you know, she was going to get that medicine for Lucius. So,
yeah, which was like another plot point in a way, because like since he died, the elders blamed the death of Noah on the creature. And said that the creature was killed by Ivy to save the town. And unfortunately, Noah died. And that's why they could keep living this like Amish dream for them in a wildlife preserve.
The certain like dystopian society of like this movie reminds me of like watching Midsommar and the type of interactions the families have, like, and the all community. The traditions they do, you know, the community aspect of it.
It was also I really loved the set as well. Really good physical set. I love a movie with pretty much like all physical set if it's possible. And going back to that behind the scenes thing I watched, I learned they created the entire set on a 600 acre piece of land within 11 weeks in Pennsylvania in Delaware.
That's really impressive.
Really cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, but no, this is definitely one of my favorite movies. Definitely like, you know, a top five. This one kind of always is like out of nowhere with me. I always forget about this movie and then I think about it and I'm like, oh yeah, this is like a great movie. Rating, I give it a solid 9 out of 10.
Okay,
it's a solid 9 out of 10.
I would probably give it a 4 out of 5 stars. That's what I gave it on Letterboxd.
Okay,
so an 8 out of 10, minus one star just because I didn't think it was that scary. Again, it was more of like a psychological thing than like it was making me jump.
Yeah.
And I was just expecting a little bit more scary, but that's okay. That's okay. I still really love the movie. And then minus one star because Adrian Brody, again, I guess I can't really say that because he did a really good job. But
yeah, I know what you
also because Jesse Eisenberg only had 3 lines. And I love Jesse Eisenberg.
That's fair.
I know it was early in his career, but but yeah.
Yeah.
I think that wraps up
episode five
of Revoice Reviews, my friends.
Thanks so much for watching episode five of Revoice Reviews.
Thanks for listening to us yip and yap.
Yeah, I'm Brett. Thanks for listening.
Make sure you follow us, Revoice Reviews, Revoice Network. Tune into our other shows.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.